Isaiah chapter 55, I'm going to preach a message that's a little bit maybe different than I typically have been preaching over the last few months. It's going to be a little more topical tonight, but I was going through some messages from early in my ministry, and I was going through one and I saw this and I thought, I remember preaching that years ago. I think it was in 2015. And the Lord kind of just impressed on my heart to preach it again tonight. And really the main reason is that kind of in light of what we're trying to do over the next few weeks with our youth explosion and with Easter. And I want to bring a message tonight called The Power of an Invitation. The Power of an Invitation. Isaiah 55, verse number 1, if you have found it. If you could stand to your feet, we'll read these verses and then we'll pray and we'll get right into the message tonight. Because of the different things we're doing, I want to keep it moving to get you out on a good time. But the Bible says in verse number 1 of Isaiah 55, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money, without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me here, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." And let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us. And thank you tonight for this opportunity to be in your house. And already, Lord, my heart's been stirred. And Lord, it's just a special time to just reflect a little bit about what we hope you'll do this week. And we'll give you all the praise and glory, as we already said. But I pray that you'll help us as we open up our hearts tonight for a message on the power of an invitation. And I hope, and my prayer, it will help us all see the importance and need, Lord, to tell people about Jesus Christ. We sure do love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The story is told of a boy named Patrick who asked repeatedly for a watch. His parents forbade him to talk about it anymore. They said, "You've talked about it too much." And at dinner, he was asked to pray. And he said, "Before I pray, I'd like to quote a Bible verse." His parents said, "Oh, wow. You want to pray and quote a Bible verse? What a blessing." And he said this, "And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch and pray." Watch and pray. You know, sometimes you feel like you keep sharing the gospel and you keep telling people about Jesus, and you wonder sometimes if it's going to penetrate, if it's going to make it happen. It reminds me of a girl at the age of 5. She made an insightful statement about her newfound faith. She told her mother, "I think Jesus has moved out of my heart." Her mother was curious and kind of concerned, and she asked where Hannah thought Christ had gone. She replied, "Well, I believe Christ has moved to my throat, because all I want to do is tell people about Jesus." And wouldn't that be a good thing for each and every one of you? Well, there is something about an invitation. An invitation makes us feel special, does it not? And invitation makes us feel wanted and even accepted. An invitation is a powerful way to reach out to others. A man, perhaps maybe a young man, invites a young lady out for a date. And hopefully, if it's a mutual thing, it's a good thing. And a business person maybe invites a client out for lunch, or maybe a housewife invites a friend over for a cup of coffee, or maybe a cup of tea. A family will invite another family to supper. Invitations are important, but we see the invitations in the Bible often, and invitations are important both to God and Jesus, as they extend multiple invitations to you and to me. And people extended invitations in the Bible to their family and friends to hear about Jesus. And may I say, even today, people still appreciate personal invitations. Billy Graham Association issued a statistic that said the average Christian can identify 7 unchurched people that they have a personal relationship with. So in a room of this size, it could be well over 1,000 people that we know that are unchurched or maybe even unsaved. Yet the national survey says 82% of non-church said they would come to church with a friend or relative if they were simply invited. So let's look tonight at several invitations in the Bible. First of all, we'll see some divine invitations, number one, some divine invitations. We see, first of all, God invited sinners. Isaiah 1 and verse number 18, the Bible says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." Jesus says, come, even though your sins are scarlet, if you'll come to me, they'll be white as snow. Now we understand that they'll be white because of the precious blood of Jesus Christ covers our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land, offering forgiveness of sins to those willing to obey. So God invites sinners, and as we saw in our text verse, God invited the destitute, and he offered those willing to hear that which truly satisfies. He says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. If you need and need, if you're destitute, come to me, and I will give you rest," as we see later. Jesus invites the weary and the heavy laden in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Mark 6, verse 31, "And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat." Jesus is inviting us to the weary and heavy laden to come to him. I think of the Holy Spirit invites the thirsty in Revelation 22, verse 17. "And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." Aren't you thankful today that when you were thirsty in sin and when you were longing for something more sustainable and something better than what perhaps the world and the flesh and the devil had to offer, when you came to Jesus, you were truly satisfied. John 7, verse 37, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." We see Jesus also invites the hungry. I don't know about you, but I respond very good to this one. John 12, 12, "Jesus saith unto them, come and dine." I've shared this before, but we had this huge dinner bell at the outside of our home. There were seven of us kids, so when it was time to eat, you better get there, you know. And when that bell would cling and ring, I would beeline it. I was always hungry. I was ready. It's time to eat. Let's eat. I think of when I was in college, I was a poor college boy, and we were always hungry, it seemed like, and me and some friends went to Steak and Shake. How many know what a Steak and Shake is? Okay, there used to be one when we were in Turlock. There was one in Reno, which was 4 hours away. It was a little too far to drive, but went in Reno. And they closed it down recently. But anyways, Steak and Shake, I loved it. I was eating there one day. I got the TJ, the Frisco burger I'm talking about. And I got that and a side of chili and some fries. And they put this cheese over the fries. You know, some of you are hungry. You haven't eaten dinner yet. Yeah. Some of you may not be hungry after that. I don't know. But and there it was. It would come out. And I remember they had this 4 for $4. You get the burger, you could get the fries, the chili, and you could get the drink for $4. And we were getting ready to eat, and about that time, I don't know if you remember the Burke family, and I believe his wife would sing, and I think his name was Paul Burke, came in, and he shook hands with us and said hello, and of course, he's a church member at First Baptist there, so we stood up, and we acted right, and we ate our food, and we went to go pay, and the waiter said, "Your bill's already been cared for. That gentleman that you were talking to earlier paid for it." Praise the Lord! Let's go for round two now. You know, no, I'm just teasing. But come and dine. Jesus invites the hungry, not just physically, but spiritually. Jesus invites the searchers. In John 1:39, he saith unto them, "Come and see They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day. Aren't you glad that Jesus takes the time for those who are seeking for him? He's patient with them. He's loving toward them. He takes the time to explain it to them. We see Jesus invites commitment. In Mark 10, verse 21, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come and take up the cross and follow me. Jesus invites you and I to be committed. The story has been passed along of a man named Ernest Candler. Ernest Candler lived in Williamsburg County, South Carolina. He attended the Cascades Crossroads Baptist Church, and he was the chairman of the deacons. He was the Sunday school director. He was the brotherhood director, and he was the church groundskeeper. And really, if you talked about a servant, everybody thought of Ernest Candler. Arthritis struck Ernest in his last years of his life, and he needed a metal walker to get around. Still, he was the first to arrive at the church each Sunday and the last to leave. One Sunday morning, the pastor saw Ernest, and he noticed him have grass stains all over his pants, and he thought, wow, Ernest, that's not like you. And did you forget to change, or what in the world's going on? And so he pulled him aside, and he said, Ernest, what happened to you? Well, Ernest replied, sometimes I fall down now with my arthritis. And I fell down in the churchyard this morning. It wasn't a problem, really. I just had to crawl over to the steps so I could grab the handrail and pull myself up. Pastor, forgive me, but I got some grass stains in the process. The pastor looked at him and said, well, never mind that. Ernest was happy to be there, happy to serve. And when I think of many of you happy to serve, may God raise up another generation of young people, young adults who are willing to gladly be committed to serving Jesus Christ. Amen. We see Jesus invites commitment, but he also invites us to inherit the kingdom. In Matthew 25, 34, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Jesus also invites us to reach people. In Mark 1, verse 17, and Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. If you follow Jesus' ministry, you can see he could be found on a hillside. He could be found in the country. He could be found in a Jewish temple. He could be found throughout the bustling cities. He could be found everywhere. When I was in pastoring in Turlock, Turlock was about 80,000, and the town of Denair was right outside, about a mile from the edges of it, of about 5,000. And most of the time we'd visit people who would come from the city. But one particular time, a lady came from way out in the country in Denair and left her address. And so I went to follow up, and it was way out there. And I finally got there, and the road was kind of pretty rough. And I pulled in there. There were semi-trucks everywhere and all this stuff. And I grabbed a little gift, and I got out, and a dog came rushing at me and barking. And I got back in the car. I said, I ain't going to do this. I got ready to leave, and about that time, someone came out and yelled at the dog, and the dog went away. And so I got out and came up to him, and he says, who are you? I said, I'm Pastor Justin. Oh, yeah, I remember you. I said, here's just a little gift from our church. He goes, I can't believe it. He said, I can't believe it. I said, what? No one's ever come up to our door. And I thought, well, I was about ready to leave your door. But I'm not going to tell you that. I gave him the gift. And I thought, people come from all over. But that's what Jesus, he went everywhere telling about Jesus Christ. It reminds me of the story of a vacuum cleaner salesman who determined to go door to door, and he left the city to tackle the customers in the country. He felt like he could bring his big city charm, his big city sales pitch to the country. And so he went way out in the mountain town, way out in the backwoods, and finally came to a door and knocked on it. And an elderly lady came out, and he started quickly launching into his sales pitch, and he was getting into it, and he could tell he couldn't really say much, and he kept going. And finally he said, this vacuum cleaner can vacuum up anything. In fact, whatever it can't vacuum up, I will lick up. And he knocked over an ashtray. The lady was just shocked. He says, this vacuum cleaner can vacuum up everything. And about that time, she looked at him and says, well, we ain't got any electricity out here, so good luck with licking that up. It's amazing to me how sometimes we have to go all over. But may I say, the gospel is for everyone. He tells the crowd, Jesus did, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He not only shows men everywhere a new way of life, he invites them to it. And these invitation promises that are available to everyone. And so we see the divine invitations in the Word of God. We see the invitations from Jesus and from God and, of course, the Holy Spirit. But second of all, this evening, I want us to see human invitations. Human invitations. We see as prophesied, we read in Isaiah 2, 1 through 3, the word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established, and the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it, and many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his path. Isaiah says many people will invite people to come to the tabernacle. We see it practiced in Scripture oftentimes, especially in the New Testament, when Jesus called the disciples. We see Andrew was one of the first he called. He invited Peter to meet Jesus. In John 1, 40 verse through 42, he brought Peter to Jesus, the Bible says. We see the ripple effect, the chain reaction, the domino effect. In verse 35, we see John the Baptist invited Andrew and John. And now in verses 40 and 41, Andrew invites Peter, and Peter becomes one of Jesus' closest disciples. One day, he preaches a sermon on the day of Pentecost, and over 3,000 were converted. He became the first pastor of Rome, many people believe, and history tells us Peter and Andrew go to what would be Great Britain to preach the good news. Of course, we know that around 449 AD, Britain was settled by hundreds of thousands of new people. Not there in Peter's day, it was the Anglos and the Saxons. But because they had brought the gospel with them to Britain, eventually 80% of these become Christians. And by the way, this is where the Pilgrims trace their roots of Christianity. And we have Christianity in America today because of the Pilgrims. Which shows us, you and I have the gospel today because Andrew invited Peter to Christ. The ripple effect. We see it was invited by Philip in verses 43 through 46, who invited Nathanael to meet Jesus. In fact, Philip said unto him, come and see. The invitation. I think of the Samaritan woman who invited her neighbors. You know the story. She got saved and she said, come see a man who's told me everything I ever done. The Bible says, is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came in unto him. We see the Samaritan woman invited, Peter invited, Nathanael, of course, was invited by Philip, and Matthew, of course, the Levite. He gave a feast to introduce people to Jesus in Luke 5, verse 27. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom and said, follow me. And he left all and rose up and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans, of others, that sat down with him. We see invitation after invitation in the Bible. I think of Cornelius. You know the story. He invited his family and his friends to hear Peter in Acts chapter 10, verses 24 and 33. And he says there, now therefore, in verse 33, we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Verse 24, he called together his kinsmen and near friends. All throughout Scripture, we see God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit inviting us for different things. And then we see, of course, many people in Scripture inviting people to come and see and hear about Jesus Christ. Hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. We see many come to know Jesus by way of an invitation. And I think as we wrap things up tonight, it can be the same today. Last of all, of course, number one, we see the divine invitation. Number two, the human invitation. And then three, the power of an invitation. What have we seen so far tonight? We've seen that God and Jesus extended their invitation and souls were saved. The disciples extended invitations and many souls were saved. Most people today have been saved by receiving an invitation. So what about you and I today? Well, I think first and foremost, that's part of our vision that we see, of course, I am with thee, his power, his protection, his presence, and his plan for our life. So we must declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. And part of the reason why I had the man on the hillside looking over the city of Portland is that we need to reach this metro area for Christ. And one of the ways we'll do it will be next week. One of the days we'll do it is in Easter. And every week, may we share the gospel of Jesus Christ. But then after we do that, may we invite people to the services of the church. Isaiah 2 reminds us to come and let us go. John 1:46 says, come and see. We must invite people to study the Bible. Isaiah 1:18, come now and let us reason together. I'm thankful for Sunday school classes. We have so many of them here. I'm thankful for teachers who go out and invite. And I'm thankful for students who also invite people to come. Hey, come to my class. You're going to love it. We have breakfast. We have a fun time. We have a Bible lesson. You should come to study the Bible. And then we can also invite people to obey the gospel of Christ. And Matthew 11:28, come and all ye who labor and are heavy laden. Acts 22:16, Cornelius says, and now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized. I appreciate those in the church that don't just come, but they invite people to come, and it doesn't just stop there. They want to disciple them and train them and teach them so that they can grow in the Word and one day be able to do it on their own. We see invitation after invitation after invitation. On January 1st, 2010, a law went into effect in Texas that required Department of Public Safety clerks to ask all driver's license applicants if they wish to become an organ donor. The result of that new law, more than doubled the number of registered organ donors. And may I say today, what would happen if Christians asked every person they came in contact with if they want to trust Christ as their personal Savior? What a difference it would make. My dad, I talked to him last night, and recently their church were a part of bearing precious seeds, John and Romans, and putting John and Romans together. And he was telling me a little bit about it. He said, each John and Romans that goes will at least one, most likely two people will accept Christ from their Savior from that. He said, in most areas of the country, there's so few Bibles that John and Romans will be read at least minimal 25 times by different people. He said, in one particular place, they only had one of those, and they had to cut up the Bible and different sheets, and they would have to pass it around and share it and copy it down so that they would have the Bible. Hundreds and thousands of people would get saved, and the Lord put something on my heart. Maybe we can do that down the road and put John and Romans together and have them sent out to different countries. Why? Because we want to invite people to Jesus. May I say, we should never give up extending invitations. We know the Bible talks about that people will make excuses. In Luke 14:16-20, you know the story. The master says, go out and invite everybody. And the first one says, I have bought a piece of ground. I must needs go and see it. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I go to prove them. Another said, I have married a wife. Therefore, I could not come. And he said, hey, I don't care about the excuses. Go find someone who will come. And I'll be honest, I don't know how many times people have told me, I'm going to be there, and they weren't. I was sharing that recently about a family and who's now a very important and vital piece to the church in Turlock. I went to their house. They were just a block and a half from the church, so it was easy to follow up on them. But after the 6th or 7th time, I said, you know what? I'm not going there anymore. And it wasn't but about a year later, this couple comes through the back door. And they said, Pastor Justin! And I said, yes, good to see you, good to have you. Oh, we knew you'd remember us. And I'm racking my brain. What? Where did I know I've seen them. And they said, thank you for not giving up on us. I said, of course, praise the Lord. They gave me their card, and don't get ahead of me. I go to that house, and I knock on the door, and I said, I know this house. I told the Lord, I'm done going here. But they came and they've been discipled and they're growing and they're a huge part. He's on the leadership there at the church and God's using that family. And may I say, sometimes they come up with excuses. Sometimes you wonder if they'll ever come. But may we never stop inviting people. Simply extend the invitation. The Bible says in Luke 14, verse 21, then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. Just go and just be like a fertilizer spreader. Just spread that seed, that grass seed, all over the place. Some of it may end up growing, some of it may not, but just get out there and spread. Why? Because they need invited to Jesus. Have we made evangelism more difficult than it really is? I know it can be very hard sometimes. It can be a little bit intimidating. May I say, it's just as simply as, come. Will you come? Will you come to church with me? Will you come to the special event? Will you come to Jesus? Can I tell you about the greatest thing that's ever happened in my life? A couple found political asylum in this country during the Second World War, and they came from Eastern or Central Europe, and they were not well-versed in the American culture. And one day, they received an invitation to a wedding. At the bottom of the invitation were those cryptic letters, RSVP. They looked at that and looked at that, and the husband said in his thick accent, "Wife, what does that mean, RSVP? So they thought for a while until inspiration dawned. And the husband said, "Wife, I know what it means. Remember, send wedding presents." They made a mistake by imagining that the message was a demand, that you could only come if you brought a present. But what really was the truth was they just wanted them to come and let them know they're coming. May I say, you don't have to give anything to come to Jesus. He just wants you to come. And may we be willing to tell people about Jesus Christ, a free invitation. And should someone decline an invitation, well, we are free to offer it to someone else, are we not? Never underestimate the power of the simple invitation. It transformed Andrew and Peter's life, and it transformed the lives of countless thousands ever since. I'll never forget when we first moved to Turlock, there was a few teenagers that had started to come. And one of the young men, I said, do you like to play basketball? He said, I love it. I said, well, let's play. I said, bring a friend or two. And so he did, and we went to the park, and we played basketball, and we had a good time, and started investing in this young man named Dante. And he started being very, very faithful. His parents were coming, his family, they were getting involved in the church, and they were such a blessing to us. But this young man, he was a part of everything, and he was always there, and what a blessing he was. And I'll never forget the day he says, you know, I'm going to go to the Marines. I said, No, you can't. Go serve the Lord. Go serve your country. I was teasing him, and he went, and he came back, and he said, Pastor Justin, I got to tell you something over the Christmas break. He said, you know, I've been sitting there with my friend, and there's really no Bible study during the week there, and I've been going to church, but he said, I wanted to do something on base, so I asked my platoon leader if I could start a Bible study, and he said, yes. So me and my friend have been inviting different Marines, and we've been teaching them the Bible. It's been great. I said, praise the Lord, Dante. He finished a few weeks or a few years later, and he ended up getting a job and marrying a girl in Colorado, and we kept in touch. One day he came and visited his family over Christmas, and I said, how you doing? He said, Pastor Justin, you're not going to believe it. Part of this new independent Baptist church that just started up, and it's doing great. And he asked me if I would help run the teen program. He says, and I'm teaching teenagers every week. He says, I'm taking them out to play basketball. He said, Pastor Justin, I'm doing what you taught me to do. And I couldn't help but think, Lord, thank you for a changed life. May I encourage you and me today as the teenagers go out this week, and their lives are going to be transformed, I promise you, this week. I think, as Brother TJ mentioned to me, it almost is as great for the teenagers we have ministering as it is for those who come in. It's a wonderful ministry. May we watch lives transformed this week and this month for the cause of Christ. Perhaps souls are not being saved because they are simply not being invited. God and Jesus believed in the power of an invitation. Christopher Searcy was playing basketball with his friends on May 16, 1998, when he was shot in the chest by a bullet, and it perforated his aorta. His friends helped him get to within 40 feet of the entrance to Ravenswood Hospital, and then went inside and asked for help. The hospital staff refused to help Christopher, saying that it was against the hospital's policy to administer a staff aid to those outside the hospital. In other words, they said, we can't help him because it's against policy until he comes into the hospital. For whatever reason, people just kind of waited and didn't know what to do. And finally, a policeman was able to get a wheelchair and wheeled Christopher into the hospital, where he was helped by the hospital staff. Unfortunately, though, it was too late, and Christopher died about an hour later. What a sad story. But may I say today, what's even more sad is it seems that churches are surrounded by people that desperately need to hear the gospel. Yet we wait here in our pews for them to come. And much like Christopher, they're right there. They need to hear about Jesus. They're so close. They need a teenager who will go and invite. They'll need a young adult who will go and invite them. They need a staff member who's busy during the week but will go and invite. They need a couple that's maybe busy at work and trying to build something. Say, you know what, I'm going to take a little bit of time to invite someone. And church, I want to encourage you. I really believe we're one of the great churches in the area that's evangelistic outreach, and I never want to lose that. But it's only going to continue to be great if we'll continue to invite. We'll continue to share. We'll continue to proclaim. We'll continue to tell. And may we not have more Christopher stories. I hope this week instead we have the opposite. We have young person after young person say, I'm so glad you came and invited me at my school. I'm so glad you came and told me about this event. I'm so glad you invited me to an Easter egg hunt. I'm so glad you invited me to a musical at the church. I'm so glad you invited me because I got to hear about Jesus Christ and it changed my life. An invitation, the power of an invitation. Who will you invite this month to Jesus Christ? Every head bowed, every eye closed tonight. Just a simple message. We see the power of an invitation. We see divine invitations in the Bible. We saw human invitations in the Bible. And we saw the power of an invitation. We've seen it work in Scripture, but let us put it to work. May you declare, maybe you invite people to church, people to study the Bible, people to obey the gospel of Christ. May you declare the gospel of Jesus Christ and the workplace and the restaurant and the store. May you be willing to invite. May you respond to the invitation Jesus gives, but may you also be willing to invite and make a difference and impact in people's lives. Lord, we sure do love you. Thank you for loving us, and thank you for these dear people. Lord, they're here on a Sunday night because they love you. Lord, they need to, Lord, please you, and they know that. Lord, we've been challenged tonight as I have been challenged. Lord, the power of an invite. Lord, may this week as we go about to the grocery store and to the gas station, Lord, may we go out to our communities and Lord, on Saturday, have the opportunity. Lord, we have breakfast provided. We have the maps out. We have shuttles that will go. Or we'll have vans that will go. Or we'll have families that will go and put flyers on doors. Or we can do that. We can put a flyer on a door. Or we can take a flyer to a school. We can take a flyer in the workplace. We can invite people to church. We can talk to them about Jesus and see where the conversation goes and keep encouraging them to come to Christ, share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can do that. We can do that. May we not make it too complex. May we not make it too difficult. May it be simple. May it be as simple as saying, hey, we'd love for you to come. Let me tell you about Jesus and what he did for me. Or may we never forget the power of an invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. If you could stand to your feet, the piano's going to play. The altar's open. Maybe you need to pray that God will help you to invite somebody. Maybe you need to pray that God will work in your heart if He has touched your heart about something He's invited you to. Maybe you feel like tonight that you forgot that Jesus invites the hungry and the thirsty, the weary and the heavy laden, the destitute. Maybe you have forgotten that He invites the searchers and He invites us to inherit. Maybe you forgot some of those things. Maybe you need to come and just say, Jesus, I'm here. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. I have a burden. I have a care. And will you please forgive me? Maybe you, like Acts and chapter number 2, where it says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. Maybe you need to accept the invitation of salvation. Maybe you didn't realize Jesus came for you and He was willing to die for you. And He wants to be your Lord and Savior. Maybe tonight you'd like to come forward and invite Jesus Christ in your life. Maybe tonight you are like that hospital that don't want to leave the church because it's quote unquote against, but maybe it's normal. But instead, may we go to those Chris's who are right there and just need someone to invite them to Jesus Christ. May I encourage us to allow the invitation from God tonight to stir our hearts to invite people to Jesus Christ. Maybe you make a decision right now that I'm going to be there on Saturday. I'm going to be there to help Brother TJ this week. I'm going to do what I can to invite people to Jesus. God bless you. You may be seated. Please know that you're loved and appreciated. And I'm so thankful for what God's doing here and what He's going to do this week. You're so faithful. You're such a blessing. And at this time, we're going to show just a few quick announcements, updates to remind us of a few things. And then we'll be on our way tonight.
We're excited for Youth Explosion to start tomorrow night. It will continue each night at 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m., Monday through Wednesday. As a result of this outreach last year, 99 teenagers accepted Christ as their Savior. Please join us in prayer that many more teenagers would be saved and that their lives would be changed for Christ. We are still in need of volunteers during this three-day event. If you're interested in helping with registration, security, food prep, or cleanup, please sign up at the welcome desk. Or if you would like to help financially, please designate the amount for Youth Explosion. And as a reminder for our Wednesday evening service, our church family is welcome to sit in the balcony during Youth Explosion.
Join us for a wonderful opportunity to help your child sing and develop their voices through our 2024 Children's Easter Choir. This is for children 5 years old through sixth grade. We'll be performing during the Only Jesus program on Friday, March 29th at 7 p.m. and Sunday, March 31st at 11 a.m. Bring your children to the service tonight at 5 for practice, and they will receive a practice schedule to take home.
Exciting plans are starting for the Easter dramatic musical Only Jesus on Friday, March 29th at 7 p.m. and Sunday, March 31st at 11 a.m. There will also be an egg hunt on property for all children and teens up through 12th grade. If you could help us by bringing individually wrapped candy, there's a bin on the welcome desk. Easter is a wonderful time to invite your friends, family, and co-workers to join us for our services. So mark your calendars as we celebrate the resurrection of our Savior.
Churchwide Outreach will meet this Saturday, March 9th at 10:15 a.m. Join us for a delicious breakfast and an opportunity to share your faith in the community as we hand out Easter invitations.
Don't forget, we spring forward 1 hour on Daylight Savings Time next Sunday, March 10th.
If this is your first or second time here, we want to answer your questions and get to know you. Please fill out the Connect card in the pew in front of you and bring it to guest services as you exit the auditorium. We would love to meet you and you will receive a gift card. Have a great week and we'll see you Wednesday night at 7.
All right. Well, I hope you know if you're visiting with us, we do want to get to know you. Just a quick reminder, it's actually going to be 6:30 on Wednesday night if you can be with us. God bless you all. You are dismissed.